And so it's exciting for me to be a part of a church where we want to do both. That we sent a team to Spain many years ago. Don't even know how many years ago it was. Seems, yeah. And so, but it's exciting. And this morning we're going to be going back into Philippians chapter 2. And Paul is going to direct our attention at two gentlemen who put their faith to flesh. What they did is they fleshed out their faith in a way where he had talked earlier about Jesus and about how we ought to look not just to our own interests but also to the interests of others. And it's an expression of worship. It's doing it in a way that we're keeping our eyes on Jesus because he is the one who has done this for us. I don't know about you, but it's sometimes difficult to just think about other people's interests, isn't it? You know, it's really easy to think about our own personal interests. 2 weeks ago, I had an opportunity just to read this, and a lot of times on Sunday mornings, I'll read the text for the coming week. And because we were going away together as a family last weekend, in fact, Rob was joking with me that 2 weeks ago, he remembered that I joked that it was such bad weather that I didn't want to come to church, and that Michelle said, "We got to come, you're the pastor." And then Rob said, and then he didn't show up the next Sunday. but that, you know, the past 2 weeks gave me an opportunity to really live into this text because when I heard Paul say, you know, I've got no one else like Timothy who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, I began to wonder, do I take a genuine interest in what is going on in people's lives, especially as it relates to their life in Christ? It's great when we are genuinely interested in how people are doing physically, emotionally, mentally, you know, but how are they doing in their own relationship with Christ? And so I was asking myself that for the past 2 weeks, whether it was, you know, am I genuinely interested in what Michelle is interested in, or am I genuinely interested in doing the things that my girls are interested in? Or maybe it's a car ride with somebody that I had just met, and I want to find out about them, and so I ask inquisitive questions about them. In this one opportunity, this gentleman said, "Well, do you want to hear the long story or the short story?" And I thought about Paul saying, "Timothy takes a genuine interest in your welfare." And I said, "You know what? Give me the long story. Share with me what brought you to this place." And so we're jumping into this letter again, and with the view of what Jesus has done for us, and Paul is going to show us through the life of Timothy and Epaphroditus. Everybody say Epaphroditus. And what example they gave us. So turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And we are reading from 19 through 30. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, and going through the end of the chapter in verse 30. If you remember, Paul had already talked to them about how they can work out their salvation with fear and trembling. That's where Jeff had us last week. And a way in which they could live that out was how they lived that out among one another and how they were a unified faith family, that when they did things together, they wouldn't do things grumbling and complaining, but that there would be a unity of spirit among them. And so he's going to commend two gentlemen to the Philippian church. And down in verse 29, he's going to tell them to honor such men. You know, last weekend, I don't know if I watched this for the first time, and it was probably the last time that I'll watch it, but the Academy Awards show was on, right? How many of you care to admit that you actually saw that? So, you know, people are honored for such a variety of things, aren't they? And here Paul is honoring these two gentlemen for three things. One, that they were genuinely interested in the welfare of others. Two, that they served others like sons would a father. And three, that they risked their lives so that others could have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. So he says, you know, "I hope in the Lord Jesus that I may send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you, And then he says something kind of shocking, because I think about Paul's partners in ministry. I think of Silas, I think of Luke, I think of Barnabas. I mean, Barnabas was one who came alongside of Paul when nobody else wanted to believe that something incredible had happened in Paul's life. But he says that Timothy's got this rare quality. There, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. That carries with it this meaning of anxiety, that Timothy is genuinely interested in what's going on in their lives, but he also has this anxiety sometimes. He's a bit worried about what's going on with them and how they're doing. And he says, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself. There was genuine worth about Timothy. Timothy had proven himself in a certain way. Now, many of you, if you know the scriptures, if you know the New Testament, we're fairly familiar with who Timothy is. And it's interesting that Paul commends him for how he serves and not necessarily how he leads, though you know he was a leader. He was a young man. Paul would tell him at one point, you know, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set the example for other believers in the way you talk, in the purity of your life, in the conduct of your life. And so Timothy was a leader who was charged with the leadership of the Ephesian church. And yet Paul doesn't say, you know, oh, man, Timothy, you know, he's been working side by side with me. And I saw him, how he was communicating the gospel to people. And, you know, 15 people came to know Jesus Christ this week because of Timothy. Though that may have happened, he didn't commend him for that. Timothy, man, he has grown to be an incredible communicator of the Word of God. And that may have been true, but that's not what Paul commends him for. Paul commends him for how he serves, not necessarily for how he leads. And then he says that he serves as a son would with a father. And I hope that, how many of you are sons? Raise your hand. How many of you are daughters? Raise your hand. You know, all of us are children, right? So, you know, sometimes we don't grasp the deep meaning of this when we've personally experienced either we know for a fact that we haven't served our parents well, or maybe as children, you know, we know that we're not being as agreeable as we can with our parents, and we're argumentative and we're complaining and that kind of thing. But here Paul is saying, listen, Timothy has served with me like a son. And he's worked side by side with me in the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how he has proven himself to me. There were many times where Paul talked about Timothy as a son in the faith. In fact, this was not a new theme for Paul, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he talks about the fact that, you know what, we as a church have 10,000 teachers, but we don't have any fathers. And I think what he is getting at that is we need to see church as a family to be adopted into instead of an event to go to. A lot of times we think of church as, oh, did you go to church? And what we mean by that is that, yes, I went to church from 10:30 to 11:30 on Sunday morning. When there is such a broader picture of how we are to be as a church, and not necessarily just coming to an event, coming to an activity, but that we are actually adopted into a family. And I love seeing what is taking place in our faith family. That you're not just getting together in Bible studies and having someone teach you, but as spiritual daughters and sons, you are placing yourself under faith fathers and faith mothers and learning from them and serving side by side with them. And I see you as faith fathers and faith mothers, not just teaching people, but you are raising up spiritual children. I was once asked what my vision was for us as a church in terms of making disciples, and it's not so much in recruiting and training up more leaders. It's for us to truly be a faith family where fathers are adopting sons in the faith, and mothers are adopting daughters in the faith, and where daughters are looking up to mothers in the faith and saying, how can I serve you and serve with you? sons in the faith going to a father in the faith and saying, hey, is there a way that I can serve you and serve alongside you as we advance the gospel of Jesus Christ together? Timothy proved himself as Paul's spiritual child, and Paul poured himself into Timothy as a father would a son. Verse 23, I hope therefore to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself may come to you. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. So Paul wants to send Timothy to them, but he wants to send Epaphroditus back to them. Epaphroditus was someone who came to know Christ in the Philippian church, was raised up, and he was somebody who took the gift, the financial gift that the Philippians had gathered up for Paul while Paul was in prison. And so I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed, because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and I love this, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. You know, the ink was still wet in this letter when he had told them just verses before, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I don't know what's better, Paul is saying. He's like, you know what? I would love to go home and be with the Lord right now. I'm kind of torn because I know that that would be better for me, but what would be better for you is that I stay and that I help you advance in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's amazing. Paul is like, you know what? Take my life. I could sacrificially give my life. I could become a drink offering. Just offer me on the altar for God. I'm ready not just to live for Jesus, but to die for Jesus. And then in the same breath, he would have had sorrow heaped on sorrow had Epaphroditus passed away, because Epaphroditus came from the Philippian church to serve Paul and to serve Paul's needs. We live in this tension, don't we? You know, especially if someone is sick, someone's got cancer, we don't want to see them leave us. And sometimes when we're at a point in our lives where it's like, Lord, you could take me home now, and I'm okay with that. And we live in this tension, but here Paul, he just so deeply cared about Epaphroditus and cared for this church that he didn't want to see anything bad happen to him. Verse 28, therefore I am all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give. Honor people like this, people who are genuinely interested in the welfare of others, people who serve one another as family ought to serve each other, as the family of Christ serves one another. Honor people who would risk something so that other people would come to know Jesus Christ. We're seeing pictures from around the world of people risking their lives and giving their lives as martyrs for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They serve as examples for us because then we can question, well, what am I willing to risk in a place that's relatively safe? Am I willing to risk some of my comfort? Am I willing to risk losing a friendship? And then what's more important? Is it more important for us to lose a friendship or to know that they would lose their life eternally if we don't tell them about the message of Jesus Christ? What are we willing to risk? So Paul is saying, commend men like this who would be genuinely interested in others, who would serve others, who would risk their lives for others. And so if he's commending men like that, my challenge to us this morning would be that we would be men and women, boys and girls, who would do that. that we would take a genuine interest in our friends' lives. Just to unpack that a little bit more, I wanted to hear from you this morning. What does it look like to you when someone takes a genuine interest in your life? You feel special? Okay. And specifically, what would someone do where you would know that they are taking a genuine interest in what's going on with you? Yes. You give them time. Yes. What's that? Yes, they would actually listen. This is one thing I have to work on, and my family jokes with me about this, that they have to establish connection with me before they know that I am truly listening. Because I can be so in my head and thinking so much that I had a conversation with Chris in the office where that happened, and she was starting to go off in a conversation, and then I went, "Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I was somewhere else," and so I had to have her start all over again. Actually listening to someone, and what's more, even not so much more important, but along those lines, is listening with the intent to truly get the meaning of where they're coming from, instead of developing your own thoughts. Developing, especially if you're in an argument with somebody, you know, you're listening, quote unquote, listening to them, but what you're actually doing is in your own mind, you're thinking, okay, but I'm going to say this, right? So yeah, listen to them. How else? Action. Yeah. What kind of actions? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doing things with them, or even doing things for them. It's that serving, what Timothy did for Paul, what Timothy did with Paul, is that he was serving side by side with him as a son would a father. Anything else? Yes.
Being willing to reestablish communication after an offense.
Yeah. It's really important for us, if we're doing this, to instigate conversation. So we start it, but we can also investigate in conversation, ask those questions, go a little bit deeper. I love my commute. My commute is a half-mile walk from home. And so I was walking down the sidewalk this morning, and I said hi to a gentleman who was doing a sidewalk, and he said, "How are you?" And we say, "How are you?" as another form of saying hi. I didn't respond to him, but I don't think he was really looking for a response, because had he asked that question, I go, "Oh, hey, I'm doing really good." And maybe I should have, you know? But how are you? How are you really? That would show genuine interest in someone. So my encouragement to you this week would be to ask yourself, in whatever relationship you are in, whether it's a wife, husband, son, daughter, somebody in our faith family, a neighbor, am I showing genuine interest in them? Am I doing it in such a way where I'm serving them and maybe even risking something for them in order to show interest in them? With the focus on them either coming to know Jesus Christ or growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to pray, and then we're going to enter into communion, and I'm going to share with you how Jesus did this for us. Father, I want to thank you so much, because you risked it all. You gave it all. I love my kids. I can't imagine giving my kids up for somebody else. And yet, Lord God, you sent your son and gave him up for us. And he willingly laid his life down for us. Father, I pray that as we live this text out this next week, you would help us to see the genuine interest that you took in us. How much you love us. How concerned you are for us. And Father, I pray that you would make us as a church, as a faith family, more like a family where we are sons and daughters in the faith to mothers and fathers in the faith, serving alongside of them and serving them. Pray, Father, that you would help us to be genuinely interested in each other's lives, to know what's going on and to remember to ask, how can I pray for you? And then a week later saying, hey, I've been praying for you. How's it going? Lord, I pray that it's not a rare thing for us to be genuinely interested in others as we keep in mind how your son was genuinely interested in us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.